This is News Today with WDW News Today. I'm Tom Corliss of WDWNT.com. Please like this video, subscribe, and hit the notifications bell to make sure you never miss the latest from the Disney theme parks all around the world. Here now the news for May 12th, 2023. Disney Parks Experiences and Products reported a $7.78 billion in revenue during the second quarter of 2023, which ran from early January to late March. The earnings report reads the following, quote, Disney Parks Experiences and Products revenues for the quarter increased 17% to $7.8 billion and segment operating income increased 23% to $2.2 billion. Higher operating results for the quarter reflected increases at our international and domestic parks and experiences businesses, partially offset by lower results at our merchandise licensing business. Higher operating results at our international parks and resorts were due to growth at Shanghai Disney Resort, Disneyland Paris, and Hong Kong Disneyland. The increase at Shanghai Disney Resort was due to higher volumes and guest spending growth. Higher volumes were attributable to increased attendance, while guest spending growth was due to increase in average ticket prices and food, beverage, and merchandise spending. The increase in operating results at Disneyland Paris was due to volume growth, which was attributable to higher attendance and increased guest spending, partially offset by higher costs. Guest spending growth was due to increases again in average ticket prices, average daily hotel room rates, and food, beverage, and merchandise spending. Higher results at Hong Kong Disneyland reflected more operating days in the current quarter due to COVID-19-related closures in the prior year quarter. Operating income growth at our domestic parks and experiences was attributable to an increase at Disney Cruise Line. Higher results at Disney Cruise Line were due to an increase in passenger cruise days, including the addition of the Disney Wish, which launched in the fourth quarter of the prior year. Results at our domestic parks and resorts were slightly unfavorable to the prior year quarter, as a decrease at Walt Disney World Resort was largely offset by growth at Disneyland Resort. The decrease at Walt Disney World Resort was due to higher costs, partially offset by increased volumes. Higher costs reflected cost inflation, increased expenses associated with new guest offerings, and higher depreciation. The decrease in merchandise licensing operating income included lower revenue from merchandise based on Star Wars, Spider-Man, Frozen, and Avengers. Talk about this briefly for a second. How the tables have turned in that Walt Disney World, which used to be the one that carried everyone, is in this report the only one that's seeing a decrease. And even what have been like the losers all the time of Paris and Hong Kong are now doing great. Things have really turned around. We'll have to see how this all plays out. During Wednesday's earnings call, the Walt Disney Company CEO Bob Iger said they are closely evaluating growth and expansion opportunities at the Disney parks. This again echoes several stories we've published in the past few months, whether it was from Josh D'Amaro or Bob Iger talking about how they are combing through their library of IP, of intellectual property, to see what the new lands and attractions at Disney parks will be, and that they're supposedly going to be pretty bullish about adding these things to the parks. Of course, in Florida, that will all depend upon what's going on with the state. Obviously, they've already floated those ideas for Magic Kingdom and Animal Kingdom out there. Whether or not those happen, we'll wait and see. Of course, there are rumors of new lands in both parks in Paris that have been talked about and beyond. And of course, lots of new stuff at Disneyland. We know there's an Avatar land coming at some point and probably more. So we wait for Disney to make anything official at any point in time, hopefully soon. I mean, we have Destination D23 later this year and D23 Expo will be next year. So we would expect by then to hear something, but it may depend on this Florida situation. Disney is expecting the domestic Disney parks, Disneyland Resort, and Walt Disney World Resort parks, that is, to have lower Q3 2023 revenue than in Q3 2022. The reasons Disney gave for the revenue being lower is due to cast member contract, of course, the new one that was made several weeks ago, and the end of the 50th anniversary celebrations at the Walt Disney World Resort. Of course, that ended back at the end of March of 2023. And while the Disney 100 Years of Wonder celebration has kicked off at Disneyland and in earnest, I guess you could say, at Walt Disney World, if you count a couple of signs, some merchandise, and a popcorn bucket, it isn't seeing as big of a, it isn't delivering as well as the 50th anniversary did for Walt Disney World attendance. This is fascinating. I know a lot of us were disappointed by the 50th, but nonetheless, it had a drawing power. People felt like it was the 50th anniversary of Walt Disney World. That is not an event we can miss, and they didn't miss it. But now it'll be interesting to see What happens now? Obviously, I think there is a bit of a downturn happening naturally regardless, but obviously the 50th anniversary is playing a role in that attendance downturn as well. And we'll have to wait and see what's going to, again, this plays off that first story too. It'll be interesting to see what happens. If domestic tourism is going to be down, Disneyland is up, but Disneyland also has a mostly local audience or local-ish audience. So even if domestic travel takes a dive the next year or two, Disneyland Resort's probably still going to perform well. So Disney World would be the one to be hurt. We'll have to see how this all pans out for them. During the call on Wednesday, Iger reiterated the company's position on the pending litigation against Governor DeSantis and the Central Florida Tourism Oversight District Board. He rebuffed rumors that it was about preserving the original Reedy Creek Improvement District or even that they desired an even playing field with the state. The grounds of the case all lie in the retaliation for speaking up as protected by the First Amendment. Quite a bit of time was spent talking about the special districts in Florida as well. There are around 2,000 special districts in the state, and most were established to foster development. Reedy Creek in particular made it easy to do business in Florida and helped contribute to over 75,000 jobs. Indeed, it's easy to say the district benefited Disney, but misleading to not talk about how Disney benefited Florida, per Iger. Of DeSantis's latest spars, he said that if the goal was an even playing field with the state, then similar rules should apply in districts which cover areas like the Villages and Daytona Beach. It's also false that Disney's main goal is to protect tax breaks, since they are paid, they actually have paid more than $1.1 billion last year in Florida taxes. Finally, he expressed shock that Disney even has to defend their rights with the state. There's massive potential for investment in Florida, and he says the state should welcome Disney's investment while the company operates responsibly and pays for its fair share. This is what we've been talking about, right? Like, I'm with Iger on this, and I know there'll be some stubborn or, I'll refrain from other terms in the chat that'll argue this, but it needs to be said again that when this was all set up in the 1960s, Central Florida did not have the infrastructure to facilitate Walt Disney World. So the Walt Disney Company basically said, you know what? You don't need to. We'll handle it. And it clearly benefited Central Florida. If you want to play dumb and truly believe that the Central Florida that surrounds the building I'm sitting in right now does not owe all of its existence to Walt Disney World, that would be one of the dumbest assumptions a human being could ever make. There is no way a quarter of this exists without Walt Disney World. It built an entire economy for this area that did not exist. That is its greatest strength today. It's tourism. It's theme park tourism. It's insane. It's insane. And what's also insane, the Walt Disney Company basically sitting there going, look, we want to put several billion more dollars into Orlando, but you're kind of not letting us. And for the state to stomp its feet and stop that from happening is moronic, right? It's moronic. Like, this is, we should just end this. Let's just everyone back off. Let's let bygones be bygones and let Florida benefit from Walt Disney World. I don't understand why they're determined to not. I don't understand. Yeah, a company can say what it wants. It is protected by the First Amendment. The same way I'm protected to say what I want on this show, I should be able to freely say how I feel about things. And if I have to worry about the state, which I operate WDWNT LLC out of, being mad about what I said, that's not democracy. That's not America, right? It's such a weird situation, but it needs to go away. It needs to go away quickly. So if the governor and other people in Florida, other high-ranking officials would like to just back off, I don't think anyone would judge them for it at this point. It's probably the right thing to do. But anyway, I digress. This program is brought to you by our official travel agent sponsor, Be Our Guest Vacations. Your dream vacation begins with Be Our Guest and their concierge team of expert vacation planners, I should say. The best part is their concierge services are 100% free. Head on over to brguestvacations.com/WDWNT, and the team will design your next magical vacation, from the Walt Disney World and Disneyland Resorts to the Disney Cruise Line to the Adventures by Disney and more. Boy, it gets worse. New legislation from Troy E. Niels, co-sponsored by Lauren Boebert and Marjorie Taylor Greene, requests the no-fly zones over Walt Disney World Resort and Disneyland Resort to be revoked. After an initial introduction in 2022, after the Walt Disney Company made a public stand against Florida Governor Ron DeSantis' parental rights and education bill, Niels has reintroduced the Airline Independent of Restrictions, or AIR, Act that would require the Secretary of Transportation to remove the two no-fly zones over Disneyland and Walt Disney World. Congressman Niels said of the bill, quote, "I'm proud to reintroduce my bill, the Airlines Independent of Restrictions Act, in the 118th Congress to revoke Disney's special no-fly zone privileges. Theme parks like Disney should not receive special treatment just because they are well connected. Our national security should not be compromised to fit the needs of one corporation." The no-fly zones were created in the wake of the September 11th attacks on the Twin Towers in New York City. Both Walt Disney World in Florida and Disneyland Resort in California worked with the federal government to designate these zones. The intention was to increase park safety for guests, as there was considerable concern at the time that additional tax on Americans could be orchestrated via an aircraft, and large theme parks would be an easy target to hurt many civilians at once. Boebert, who is co-sponsoring the bill, is quoted in the statement on Nell's website, quote, "Woke corporations shouldn't get any favors from the government. The FAA has no business granting a no-fly zone over Disney parks, Universal Studios, Hershey Park, Six Flags, and other theme parks that don't have no-fly zones over them. And it's time for Disney to get the same treatment. No corporation should get preferential treatment from the government, especially when it's grooming children. Go woke, go broke." Co-sponsors of the legislation include representatives, again, Lauren Boebert, Andy Biggs, Andrew Clyde, Marjorie Taylor Greene, Douglas LaMalfa, Scott Perry, and Greg Stoob. I'm going to stop again, for lack of better judgment. From what I recall, after 9/11, the Disney parks were on high threat level, right? So I think it wasn't just Disney that wanted the no-fly zones. Pretty sure the government and the FAA wanted them too, in order to avoid them being targets. That's my understanding of it. So to pretend this was like a special privilege that really just Disney wanted is, again, I'll use the word moronic, idiotic. Facts are being made up just to fit someone's needs in this situation. It's different if you want to come in and say, like, okay, the time has passed, they don't really need it anymore. But to say because they opposed a bill, because someone didn't agree with you, they should lose rights they were given. I'm at a loss. I'm at a total loss for what's happening. And I imagine, again, ladies and gentlemen, I tell you, I have no political agenda. I am in the middle begging for our government on both sides to stop worrying about nonsense like this and solve real problems we have in this country. There are so many real problems to deal with, and this is what's getting all the press. Why does this get all the press? There's so many more important things to the safety of ourselves and our children and other things that we should be talking about. And instead, we're worried about a no-fly zone in Orlando over at a theme park, which, by the way, does not hurt the government. By the way, any government aircraft, basically with just the use of a radio, is allowed to fly through that zone at any time if they need to. So just want to clear that up as well. But anyway, what a nonsense time. Let's get back. I want to talk about popcorn buckets. Can we talk about popcorn buckets like old times? Let's try. The Platinum Disney 100 Cinderella Coach Popcorn Bucket has arrived at the Magic Kingdom after first being released at Disneyland Resort. It can be found at popcorn stands throughout the park for $28. The container is modeled after the Magical Pumpkin Coach, shiny silver with purple wheels to match the Disney 100 Platinum color palette. And of course, a sea emblem is on the side doors, and Cinderella in her wedding dress looks out the windows. The Cinderella Coach Popcorn Bucket is the latest model of the bucket. We've seen it several times before in other colors. And the strap this time reads 100 Years of Wonder, of course, the name of the 100th anniversary celebration. Disney has released the schedule for the Eat to the Beat concert series for the 2023 Epcot International Food and Wine Festival, which is presented by Corksicle. The event begins on July 27th. The concerts are performed, of course, at the America Gardens Theater. You'll find the full list on our site at WWNT.com. I'm not going to read it here on the show, both for time and also so I don't feel super old. Eat to the Beat dining packages will be available again during the event as well. More details about the packages will be announced in late June, and they'll go on sale beginning July 6th. The dining package includes a meal at one of the select Epcot restaurants and guarantees seating in the first few rows at the concert that same day. Mother's Day arrived a little early at Disney's Animal Kingdom Lodge, where Mom Daisy gave birth to a healthy baby Red River hog. This is the kind of news we want. Dr. Mark Penning, Disney's Vice President of Animals, Science, and Environment, shared the infant boy and his mother on Instagram earlier this week. Soon he'll join the seven members of the Red River Hog family, also known as a sounder, on Pembe Savannah. Looking forward to seeing this cute little guy out there. A new water park refillable mug is available at Typhoon Lagoon. It pictures three different original water park characters, as well as Mickey and Minnie. The mug is available for $12.99 for one day of use, but it can be reactivated for $8.50 for an additional day. The mug features a green lid, carrying handle, and a bendy straw, and Mickey Mouse smiles in his summery swim trunks atop a sparkling turquoise background, while Minnie relaxes with heart-shaped shades and a red hibiscus flower tucked behind her ear. Three park original characters are also featured on this mug. What a time to be alive. Pictured here is the ice skater, my personal favorite from Blizzard Beach. He's sporting an inner tube, a striped scarf, and a Santa hat. He looks ready for action. Of course, ice skater is a blue alligator who is known for his love of snow and ice. According to the park's backstory, the ice skater was a resident of the Florida swamps who stumbled upon Blizzard Beach during a particularly cold winter. He was so enamored with the snow and ice that he decided to stay and make the park his home. And his presence in the parks has been diminished over the years, but he's always still been a part of it. And it's so nice to see him on merchandise. Meanwhile, Buttons, the youngest member of the snowman family near the entrance of Blizzard Beach, also got a spot on this mug. Her little arms are stretched out and she has a big grin on her face. She's sporting the pink overalls she always wears with yellow buttons. And while other Disney snowmen have surged in popularity, Buttons does continue to delight guests at Blizzard Beach, thankfully. Snowflakes, tropical leaves, and additional hibiscus flowers pattern the background. And as well, there is another favorite character. It's Duncan. Duncan is, of course, the parrot from Misadventure Falls at Typhoon Lagoon, a family-friendly raft ride that entertains guests. It's based on Captain Mary Oceaneer, a member of the Society of Explorers and Adventurers, and her pet parrot, Duncan. Don't be confused, though. She has two different pet parrots. There's apparently Salty, which is the one that's in the art if you go to the Oceaneer lab or club, whatever it is on the cruise line. But then Duncan is a separate parrot she has who's gone delusional from sun on Misadventure Falls. I'm not making this up. This is a real thing, ladies and gentlemen. If the cup is not your thing, they also have it with the Sand Pail Sundae. Thankfully, I believe it's $16.99 with the Sand Pail. You get this art either way. Please support your original theme park characters. Need your support, ladies and gentlemen. Please buy this so that we get more merchandise with original park characters who have not been in movies. Thank you. With the World of Frozen expansion at Hong Kong Disneyland set to open later this year, the Disney Parks Twitter account has shared a new look at the upcoming Wandering Oaken Sliding Sleighs, a coaster set to open as part of the expansion. The new coaster takes some inspiration from the likes of Seven Dwarfs Mine Train at the Magic Kingdom and Shanghai Disneyland, although it doesn't sway. The official Disney Parks Twitter shared more details. Quote, the first Frozen-themed coaster ride. Soon you'll be able to embark on a scenic ride designed and built by Wandering Oaken himself at Hong Kong Disneyland. The ride will be powered by his buddies Olaf and Sven as they work together to pull the sleighs to the top of the lift hill. This is the first look inside the new attraction, while most attention in the past has been devoted to the nearby Frozen Ever After attraction. Walt Disney Imagineering and Hong Kong Disneyland President Michael Moriarty also shared a special reel on Instagram showing off cast members and Imagineers taking one of the first rides on the attraction. And during the reel, we can see a brief look at the load station as well as the ride vehicles. We see the sled ride vehicles, which feature faux runners below the vehicles. The vehicles are painted blue with white triangles bordering, and the safety bars have a center bar to split the legs, which may be uncomfortable for certain size riders, but nonetheless, the load station is based on Wandering Oaken's trading post with the work lights on. In this particular shot, obviously the ride isn't done yet, but it appears it'll be warmly lit by the overhead lanterns upon opening. No opening date has been given for the World of Frozen at Hong Kong Disneyland, although they did say that it would be sometime later this year, in the second half of this year. So fall or early winter is the rumor for this, and I cannot wait. Please give me a date. I cannot wait to go back to Hong Kong Disneyland. Speaking of places I can't wait to go back to, Tokyo Disney Resort's 40th anniversary Dream Go-Round celebration continues. They've revealed a full slate of nostalgic merchandise themed to extinct attractions and past anniversaries. Titled the Memory Go-Round Collection, these items will go on sale at both parks starting June 13th. I'm going to highlight a couple of items, but you'll find them all at WDWNT.com. There are dozens and dozens, and they're all amazing. First of all, I want to talk quick about this opening tote bag. It's styled to look like the shopping bags that were actually used in the park back in 1983. How cool is that? There's then an ink stamp set where there's five stamps, each representing a 0 year of anniversaries. And they come in a case which looks like one of the World Bazaar mailboxes, a replica of a park mailbox. It's crazy. Yeah, it's super cool. There's a framed pin set as well, which has each of the 0 year anniversaries honored with Mickey costumes. There's figurines of Mickey in those costumes for the grand opening, the 10th, the 20th, and the 30th anniversaries as well. There's then a coaster set that features art from stickers that were sold before the park opened and right after its grand opening, and a tray that has that art as well. It's cool because I have those real stickers at home. They're very cool. There's then another throwback. They've actually reproduced. This was an item they used to make many times in the past, these little music boxes. And they've made two new ones. One will specifically play Tokyo Disneyland Is Your Land, which was a famous theme song, which they still use from time to time in Tokyo. It actually also was a song at Disneyland and Disney World, for those of you that maybe went to the parks in the 60s, 70s, and 80s. And also another one for the Main Street Electrical Parade, which there was the Tokyo Disneyland Electrical Parade, since they don't have a Main Street, which ran from 85 to 95. What I am most excited about, though, are probably these Mickey Mouse Revue curtains, which are inspired by the actual curtains from the Mickey Mouse Revue attraction. The attraction was an opening day one at Walt Disney World on October 1st, 1971, until September 14th of 1980 when it closed and was shipped to Tokyo Disneyland, where it operated from April 15th of 83 until May 25th of 2009. And incidentally, both of those theaters now home to Mickey's PhilharMagic. But nonetheless, you get to have a bit of Mickey Mouse Revue at home with this. And I love that the holdbacks on the curtains feature the marquee logo as well. This is unbelievably cool. But there's more. There is a cushion replica of the Mickey Mouse hot air balloon. When Tokyo Disneyland turned 5 years old in 1988, the Oriental Land Company promoted this by flying this gigantic Mickey Mouse hot air balloon across all of Japan. You may also recognize it. It's very similar to the Air Force One, which was a hot air balloon that was flown from Walt Disney World as well. So if it looks familiar for our Walt Disney World regulars, there's a reason. There also are plush of they have Mickey from the grand opening, which even still has the old little plastic button eyes. Kids, that's what our plush used to look like when I was born, just so you know. There's one for the 10th anniversary, the 20th anniversary, and even the 30th anniversary. And then what I'm probably actually most excited about, it's hard to pick between the Mickey Mouse Revue curtain and this. There's an extinct attraction toy box where guests visiting from June 13th to the 30th can pre-order a special box featuring toys and souvenirs themed to attractions past. The tin that is also going to be a cookie tin will be remade as part of this box, along with toys for Storm Rider, the Skyway, the Grand Circuit Raceway as well. It'll be available exclusively to Japan residents through the Tokyo Disney Resort app. So you have a couple weeks to find yourself like me, someone who lives in Tokyo, to buy this for you. Luckily, I have someone, but what an amazing merchandise line. It's so cool. I love this, and hopefully maybe the U.S. park. I know we just had the vault line, but I feel like they've only scratched the surface of the vintage, cool, like retired attraction stuff, right? And we only got through a certain period of time. I feel like there's so much nostalgia for things from the 80s, 90s, and even beyond now, where, you know, I'd love to see Alien Encounter, Timekeeper, Honey, I Shrunk the Audience, like all that 80s and 90s stuff that still hasn't really been represented in nostalgic merchandise. I think it's time. Let's make it happen. For the absolute latest on these stories and all that didn't make it into today's show, be sure to check WDWNT.com and follow us on all your favorite social media platforms. You can also support the entire team behind this show and others by joining the WDWNT Interglobe Society at patreon.com/WDWNT. Get access to exclusive content, discounted show and event tickets, and more. A special shout out to all of our Wigs members watching who make the show happen every week. For the worldwide leader in Disney Parks news, this is Tom Corliss and my friend Tony Solaroni saying enjoy the rest of your today and have a great, big, beautiful tomorrow. Now, Tony and I are going to go make some pizzas with a machine the size of a wall, like the whole building. It's the best way to make pizza.
From WDWNT-TV, this is Park Center. Join us each week for news and discussion topics from the Disney and Universal theme parks around the world. We cover the stories in a quick, concise, and fun format, and then our panel breaks down and debates some of the biggest issues and what they mean for us, the parks fans. From the latest announcements to openings and delays to scandals and snacks and merchandise and more, we'll cover it all in 90 minutes. Join us live every Sunday night at 9 p.m. Eastern on YouTube at WDWNT-TV, or watch episodes on demand anytime. You can also subscribe to the audio version of the show on your favorite podcast app.